This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
Bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
It's time for fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yay! And we have some really fun news for you. Our co-written book, Finding and Working with an Editor, Everything You Need to Know for a Nearly Pain-Free Edit. Nearly Pain-Free Edit. It has officially released.
Yay!
Hoorah! So it's out there. It's ready for you to order it. When you want to find an editor, this is the guidebook for you. Chock full of our experience from years and years of being editors and writers who've been edited, and also lots of insider tips and forms and guidelines for you to make this as easy a process as possible.
Yay, I'm so excited. And fun stuff number two, we are, the both of us, leaving for Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference in a couple of days as you are listening
Amazing.
To this. I know, we're so excited. And we would love to see you there, especially if you live in California, if you live even in the Felton area. It is at this time, but probably not too late to register. So do it. You won't be sorry. If you're on the fence, we're saying, do it, do it, do it.
Go. Go. It's a wonderful conference in a terrific setting. And now, here's the show.
Welcome to the Deep, writers everywhere. We're glad that you're here joining us. So, we have talked about doubt in a couple of our past episodes, but we've saved one of the worst kinds of doubts, self-doubt, for its very own episode, and that's what we're covering today, self-doubt.
So, self-doubt, just so that you know, is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not sure you buy that. Well, that's all right. Just keep on listening.
That's right. Okay, so let's just talk about where self-doubt can come from, because we think it can stem from several different places. And the first place self-doubt can come from is low self-esteem or an underestimation of your abilities, like you don't believe you're good enough, or you don't believe you have the skills and the abilities. You don't trust what you know. That's one of my biggies right there. I'm just confessing. And then the problem with this, though, is that all of this often stems from a fear. It's a fear of being wrong. And that puts this positive task that God has given us into a negative light. It puts everything upside down from the way that God wants it. It makes what we're doing each day more about fear of failure, more a task of fear rather than a task of joy. We're thinking, don't screw up, don't screw up, instead of delighting in the work that God has equipped us to do. And that's pointing to a lack of trust that God can equip and enable us to do what he's asked us to do. So we're doubting him. It seems like we're doubting ourselves, but we're doubting him. And that's a bad idea. Not
bad
just a bad idea.
Idea.
That's where part of the sin stuff comes from. Also, when we focus on some task that we don't believe that we have the skills to do, it can make that task so much bigger than it really is. And I can give you an example from my very life. These last couple days, I have been struggling. I've been working on this whole automation sequence for a newsletter that we're doing, and I am struggling to learn how to use a new mailing program. If any of you are there, I mean, you can sympathize, right? I'm doubting that I'm going to do it right. I'm doubting I can figure this out. And pretty soon, this whole process takes on an epic exaggerated proportion. Like it's going to be some huge failure if I mess this up. And I start feeling that way and I start feeling anxious. And here's the bottom line. No, the world will not end if my automation sequence has a glitch or a mistake or if I have to redo it someday down the line. This is actually not a problem of epic proportions, but my self-doubt was making it into that.
And you know what? There's an amazing scripture verse that speaks exactly to this, seeing a task as bigger than it is, or maybe it is a huge task. But 1 Chronicles 28:20 tells us, be strong and courageous and get to work. Don't be frightened by the size of the task, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not forsake you. He will see to it that everything is finished correctly, so you don't have to worry about it.
Love it.
Another place where this self-doubt can come from is the sense that you're not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not writing enough word counts. I'm not being a good enough parent. I'm not doing enough to be with my family. And in that particular source of doubt, the word enough is the problem. If you're focusing on what you're not doing, then you fail to see what you are doing. When you are not writing enough, or you're not writing fast enough, or you're not working hard enough, what that says is that you're comparing yourself to others, that you're thinking that what you do, the way that you work, the way that you do things, it's not good enough because someone else does it different, and in your mind, they do it better. But friends, this type of self-doubt is so dangerous because it doesn't have any manners. It doesn't just stay in one area of our lives. When we battle self-doubt as writers, that whole not doing enough, writing fast enough, not writing well enough, it tends to spill over into every other aspect of who we are. So we end up struggling with feeling like we're not being a good enough spouse, a good enough parent, a good enough friend, a good enough Christian. I mean, fill in the blank, yeah. A good enough dog mommy. You know, yes. There are so many places where we can feel as though we're just inadequate and not doing enough. And what better way to derail us from what God has given us a task to do, whether it's in your writing or any other area of your life, than to whisper to us that we're just not enough. And this whole idea of, even if I do my best, it's not enough. So we're focused on everything that we aren't able to do instead of resting in God and His leading, and we start striving. And that is such a bad idea. We take on more than we should. We get frustrated and impatient, and we end up fulfilling the idea that we're not good enough because we've taken on too much, or we've taken on things we shouldn't be doing to begin with. And we just get into this ugly cycle where we're constantly focused on self rather than on God. And that often leads to the next type of self-doubt, which is...
this would be a self-doubt rooted in an underlying self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. It's whether you're conscious of it or not, self-doubt is a warning sign of self-sufficiency. And this one has actually taken me some time to come to grips with. It's really hard to identify this because we don't rationally think, hey, my problem is that I'm being self-sufficient. But that's really what it comes down to. When you doubt that you're enough, you're not really doubting yourself. If indeed God is the one who has asked you to write, or if He's led you to your spouse, or whatever it is, if He's the one equipping you to parent or write, or you name it, you fill in the blank, then when you doubt that you're enough, you're really doubting the supplier of your needs. You're doubting God. And like we said, that is not just a bad idea, it's sin. Self-sufficiency is a sin.
Another way to look at this is that self-doubt stems out of pride. You think you're able. You think you should know better. You think you should be able to do this. And you shouldn't have to ask anyone's help. You shouldn't have to rely on anyone. Pride, as odd as it is often the source of self-doubt. Because when we rely on ourselves, when we feel as though we're sufficient in and of ourselves, we cannot ever do the things that we think we should do. It's self-defeating, and it's a self-doubt that leads to sin. So, in light of these three sources for self-doubt and how damaging this kind of doubt can be, what are the solutions? Well, first, when we're doubting our ability to do a task, you need to go back and ask, who gave me this task? Seriously, who gave you this task to write? Who gave you this task to parent, to marry this person, whatever? If God gave us the task that we are faced with, then our job is to trust Him. period. Guys, he's promised to give us the abilities we need. He goes before us and behind us to prepare us. Look at Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Either we believe he's going to fulfill his promise or we don't.
Right. You know, it might help to think about Noah here. I was thinking about Noah in light of this, because I bet that guy never built an ark before.
Yeah. Pretty well guaranteed.
Right. Very big thing. Very hard. It took 100 years. So, you know, when God tells him to do this, does Noah then spend the next 100 years worrying that he's going to do a lousy job? What kind of life would that have been if he doubted the whole time, you know, that he could do it right? If God wants this ark built, then God has a plan. It's not like Noah's going to ruin it, okay? When we think of it that way, when we think about Noah, it does seem ridiculous, but it is the same with the task that God gives us. He is going to make us able. Now, let's just say that doesn't mean it won't be hard. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have to learn and ask questions and grow. But it does mean that God is ultimately going to make us able to do it according to the way he wants it done.
And the next thing is, allow yourself to make mistakes. Knowing all of that doesn't mean it won't be hard. It doesn't mean that you've got a lot to learn along the way. It also means, it doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. Guys, you are human. I know that's hard news. I know that's difficult to accept. Being human means you will make mistakes. But here's the thing, making a mistake isn't failure. It's a normal part of a learning process. And sometimes we learn best from our mistakes. Shoot, look at all the mistakes God's, quote, heroes, unquote, made in Scripture. I mean, just look at David. This is the man after God's own heart. And he lusted, and he committed adultery, and he committed murder, just to name a few mistakes. But God didn't stop loving him, right. And God didn't stop using him. God loved and used him as part of the lineage of our Savior. So give yourself a break. Give yourself permission to make mistakes. Now, Aaron has struggled with this issue. Aaron, talk about this a little.
Yeah, I have struggled with this issue. You know, in fact, one of the things that Karen would tell me when we were going through the formatting and editing of our book, she said something like, I trust you. You don't have to keep asking me about these changes. I trust you. And I was hearing, I trust you not to make a mistake. Which wasn't what she was saying. And so we finally had this talk. She's like, I don't understand why you're not hearing. I trust you. And I'm like, but this is what you're trusting me with, not to make mistakes. And so finally it got through to my head. It became clear. What she's trusting me is to do my best. And it's okay if I make a mistake. Like, she actually said those words to me. And I'm like, oh, that's an entirely different paradigm for my little brain. You know, I have a hard time with the whole perfectionism thing. And, you know, actually, that's a problem in and of itself, which we need to address in a future podcast. But
indeed,
for now, here's the thing. It's okay to make mistakes. I've had to say, it's okay to make mistakes. Karen has had to tell me, Aaron, it's okay if you make a mistake. And you might need to repeat this to yourself. The world will not end if I make a mistake. And then if you start worrying about it, here's great Psalm for you, 37, 23, and 24. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step they take. If they fall, it isn't fatal, for the Lord holds them with his hand. I love that. That's great. Okay, so, all right, y'all, it's okay to make a mistake, but not just that. I think this goes hand in hand with that. This is the other side of that coin. Focus on what you're doing right and rejoice. This is another thing that I've had to work on, but when we struggle with self-doubt, part of the trouble is we're never taking the time to celebrate what we've done right. We never celebrate our victories. They're always overshadowed by what we did wrong. But here's the thing. When you do things right, that's from God. It's not because of your great skill or your perfection. So when you rejoice for doing something right, rejoice in God, rejoice in his provision, rejoice in his presence. And here's another great verse for that, Proverbs 21:31. Go ahead and prepare for the conflict, but the victory comes from God.
Okay, so after that then, focus on the victories and rejoice. That's great. Rejoice in God and the victory that he's given you. Then focus on what you've learned from your mistakes and rejoice again.
That's right.
Anyone who's worked at something important will tell you mistakes will happen. They just do. Making them isn't the problem. It's how you react to them and whether or not you learn from them. Rejoice in what you've learned through that normal human event of making mistakes.
Another thing you can do to help overcome self-doubt is to focus on the very biggest picture, this overall task. Think about not the minutiae, but the big overarching thing here. Am I moving in the right direction? Because right. The writing journey isn't about hitting like this little bullseye over and over again. That's not what it's about. It's about walking in obedience in the direction that God has pointed us.
And speaking of the minutia, don't get caught up in it. Don't sweat about messing things up, the small things like an email or the little details. Don't get so focused on those little details that you can't see the big picture, but that it just debilitates you from moving forward. The big stuff, the important stuff, what's going on in your heart? How's your relationship with God? Are you submitting to him? Are you looking to his provision for you, whether it turns out the way you wanted it to or not? Do you understand his amazing love for you? Those are the things to be focused on. Remember, in Ephesians 3:17-19, we're told, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what we need to focus on, because when we focus on that, we don't have room in our thoughts for any of this.
Right. And I think overarching all of this, or tying all of these things together, we've been saying it over and over, but let me say it specifically here. Focus on this writing thing as a task with God. It's not for God. He's not leaving you as an orphan here. He's not saying, go run off in your corner and make this happen. He wants to be intimately involved in this. You have to embrace that. You have to repeat this truth to yourself over and over and over to help you overcome the self-doubt, overcome the self-sufficiency. This is a task with God. Remember Gideon in the Bible. I love this story. The Midianites are opposing the Israelites terribly. And when God's ready to intervene, here's what he tells Gideon in Judges 6:14-16. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. So just in case that Gideon, you know, kind of misunderstood when God gave him this task, go do this, you know, he's like, I will be with you. This is not a task Gideon had to do alone. Neither is this task that God has given us. The whole point is to do it with God. And why? Then he gets the glory, not us. And what do we get? We get joy. We get delight. We get to delight in what God is equipping us to do and not worry over self-doubt.
So in conclusion, few things can derail us as quickly and effectively as doubt. And the most debilitating form of doubt has to be self-doubt. But when we recognize that what we're really doubting isn't ourselves, but the one who gave us the task, the one who promised to equip us and prepare us for the task, the one who promises that he's with us every step of the way, well, then we have to admit the hard truth that self-doubt isn't just a bad idea. It's sin. It's doubting God. And it's doubting that God is who he says he is. And it's doubting that he'll fulfill his promises. Don't do that, guys. Just don't. The next time doubts, self-doubt try to get to you, stop it in its tracks. turn to God and submit it to Him. Let Him take self-doubt down as He's promised He will do. And then, you know what you get to do? You get to move forward in the peace and freedom that God is in control. And the only thing you need to do or be is be obedient.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.